Welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. We're so glad that you gave us a download and that you're listening to our Sunday service. And we hope you have a great experience, but we hope even more that you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
We are finishing up our series today called Dates and Mates. And this is a series for anyone who's in love, falling in love, or wanting to keep their love. And so we're finishing this series up today, and then next week we're going to get into a series called Signs. We're going to talk about the seven miracles of Jesus that led up to the resurrection. It's going to take us all the way to Easter, and it's going to get back really into some of the stuff that you guys enjoyed in the BIBLE series. And so we're kind of going back to what we talked about because you guys had some questions left, so I hope to answer those and to get into those. But in this series, we talked about the myths of dating and love, right? We talked about these two myths. We talked about the right person myth. And the right person myth says, once you meet the right person, everything will be all right. And we talked about the promise myth. The promise myth says, a promise is a suitable substitute for preparation. All you need is a promise and a party. And we talked about how this just isn't true, right? About how, you know, you're always, even if you think you meet the right person, every right person is going to eventually do something wrong. And then you ask yourself the question, did I marry the wrong right person? The goal isn't to find the person who's going to complete you, who's going to, you know, fulfill you. The goal that we need to focus on, the best thing that we can do, the thing that we have control over, is who we are, who we become. And so what we need to focus on is becoming the right person. To become the person we're looking for, is looking for. And the way that we do that isn't through promises, because promises were made to be broken, right? But the way that we do that is through preparation. We have to prepare. We have to put the work in. We know this is true. This is a principle that's true of any championship, any goal, any degree, any financial goal. This is always true that we have to prepare. We have to put the work in order to become the person that we want to be. And so then we talked about how we do that, and God, he gave us this great command, the kind of the command above all commands, and he told us this. He said, love as I have loved you. This is the way you do this. This is the way you become the person that you, the person you're looking for is looking for. You have to love as I have loved. We have this great model in Jesus of what love looks like. And Paul, he broke this down for us. He wrote this letter, and he wrote it to the Corinthians, and he goes, you want to know what love looks like? You want to know what the love of God looks like? You want to know the love that you're supposed to love, what it looks like? It looks like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. And I told you, put this into practice. Do this. Do this, and you will become the right person. You will become the person that you're looking for, is looking for. But you've got to put in the work, and this is what it looks like. But today, as we kind of finish this up, what I want to talk to you about is how you have to change. Because I think a lot of us, we're in this like loop. Have you ever felt like you're in a loop? Like you're in a day that never ends? Like it's just the same story kind of over and over, like you're stuck in this cycle, in your relationships, in your dating, in your marriage, even just in your life, like you're just stuck in this loop. Have you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? You know, they just redid a commercial, a Jeep commercial in the Super Bowl with Bill Murray and the groundhog kind of doing a parody of that movie. But it's this movie where Bill Murray relives the same day, Groundhog Day, over and over and over and over again. Or you know what, for you millennials, I'll give you a different version, all right, if you didn't grow up in the 80s. Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, you know? Where he relived, yeah, okay, there's the millennials, okay, there's the young kids, where Tom Cruise relives the same day over and over and over again. And if you remember the tagline for the movie, actually this was the original title of the movie, but they feel like it didn't make any sense, so they changed it to The Edge of Tomorrow, but this was the original tagline of the movie, live, die, repeat. Live, die, repeat. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And you know what? For some of us, in our relationships, if our life was a movie, the tagline of our movie would be this: date, break up, repeat. Date, break up, repeat. And you're like, I am stuck in this cycle. I don't know what this is. It's date, break up, repeat. Or for some of you, this is your story. For some of you, the story is marry, divorce, repeat. Marry, divorce, repeat. Let me tell you, you don't want to do this one too many times, okay? It's a good way to lose a lot of money, a lot of friends, and they need a lot of counseling, okay? But this, so for some people, this is their story. Or for some of you, this is your story. Love, fight, repeat. Love, fight, repeat. I didn't get any amens, but a lot of giggles. I wonder what that means. Love, fight, repeat. Or for some of us, just in life, just in general, it's good, bad, repeat. Good, bad, repeat. You know, we talk about life being like a roller coaster, and some of us, we just feel like it's up and it's down. It's up and it's down. There's good days and there's bad days, but it's just this cycle. It's just cycle, and it just kind of everything kind of comes back around. It comes back up. The same struggles, the same habits, the same burdens, the same problems, the same issues. How do we get out of that Groundhog Day? How do we get out of that cycle? What do we do when we're stuck in that loop? And we think to ourselves, man, my relationships always end the same way. My marriage, no matter if it's my first, my second, my third, it always tends to go this way. The same fights seem to come up. The same emotions seem to come up. The same feelings seem to come up. What is that? Why can't I get out of this loop? The last fight we had, it was this exact same debate. It was this exact same discussion. It was this exact same problem. What is that? What is going on? And the thing is that we believe, just like how we say in the promise myth, well, I'll make a promise. I promise I'll never do that again. I promise it won't happen again. I promise I won't go there again. Just like in that myth, how we know promises were made to be broken, that promises are not a suitable substitute for preparation. In the same way, you can have the best intentions, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to change where you end up. Or I want you to think about it this way. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destinations. You can have the best intentions. You can have the best intentions to never end up in the same place, but it doesn't mean that you won't. In order to do that, in order to change that, you've got to change the direction that you're headed in order to change your destination. Because a lot of times we intend to do better, but that doesn't mean it's going to change. And the way that we have to do this, the thing that helps us change our direction is, I think it begins with the mind. I believe it begins with how we think about things, how we process things. We've got to change our mind in order to change what it is we're going to do. Because I've mentioned this several times, everything makes sense to you even though it's wrong. Even a person who does something wrong, it makes perfect sense to them. So the thing is we've got to change your sense. We've got to change your mind. We've got to change the way you think about it. And the way we do that, I believe Paul gives us the best explanation of how that looks. Just like how he talked about what love looks like, he wrote many different letters that we have in our New Testament Bible. And one of the, probably the best, his most comprehensive, his longest letter is to the Roman church. He writes this letter to Rome, and he intends for it to go to Christians, and he just hopes it kind of breaks out and is shared with everybody. And Paul had this special relationship with Rome. He wanted to get to Rome. He writes several times, you'll find in different places in his letters, he says, I hope to get to Rome, I hope to get there. But we don't really know how Paul's story ended. We know a lot of the apostles, they were martyred, they were killed like Jesus, they were put on a cross, and they didn't make it, and Jesus told them that was going to happen to him. But Paul, we don't really know about. There were people after him. There were people who wanted to kill him. So we don't know what happened. We don't know if he ended up in jail and died in jail. We don't know if he was killed. We don't know if he ended up in Rome and lived happily ever after. We really don't know. But he writes this letter to Rome. And in it, in the first just 11 chapters, he talks about, like he does in every letter, about the impact that Jesus had on his life. He tells him, he says, Jesus came to save us all. Jesus came because God loved us, and he came because he wanted to show us grace, and he was for everyone. He was for Jews. He was for Gentiles. He was for slaves. He was for slave owners. He was for everyone. And he intended to have a relationship with everybody. He's adopted us into his family. And he explains all of that. And then about Romans chapter 12. And if you want some good homework this week, if you want some reading material, read Romans 1 through 11 this week. It'd be a very quick read for you this week. But read that, and then we get caught up in chapter 12. And then in chapter 12, he says, so, in light of everything I've just told you, in light of everything I've just explained to you about Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do, I want to urge you to do something. I want to really push you. I want to really recommend to you that you do something. And this is what he says. He says this. He says, therefore, I urge you. Therefore, I urge you, brother and sisters. Meaning, here's the thing. You're not going to want to do this. Okay? This is going to be really hard. This is going to be very uncomfortable. I know you are really not going to want to do this, but I'm urging you. I'm really telling you that you ought to do this. This is like somebody, like, you know, in a diet when they're like, you know, I think it'd be best if you'd stop drinking soda. Like, let's start there, you know? I really think it'd be best for you. I really think you ought to do this. It's that kind of thing, right? Something that you definitely don't want to do. You definitely don't want to hear, but they're like, I'm telling you, it'd be best for you, is what Paul's saying. He says, so I urge you, and he says, in view of God's mercy, meaning in light of everything I've just told you, in light of who Jesus was and what Jesus did, in view of how much God has loved you and how God, through Jesus, has clearly shown that he has your best intentions in mind. That he has your best interest in mind. That he wants to do what is best for you, and that he loves you, and he clearly would not do anything to hurt you. He would never set you up for failure. He wants to see you succeed. In light of that, I really, really urge you to do this. I urge you. And then he says this. He says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, we're not very familiar with the sacrificial system. At least, I hope not. You aren't. I hope you didn't make any sacrifices this week. But back then, in that context, in that culture, it was very, very normal. It was the norm. Sacrifices happened all the time. It was a normal part of everybody's life. Whether they worshipped any deity, pretty much any deity demanded some sort of sacrifice. And it was always a living sacrifice. It was usually an animal or some kind of livestock. But they knew what this meant. And when they would read this in the context that they're in, they knew what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, what I think you ought to do, and what I would urge you to do, is to offer your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, put yourself on the altar. In other words, write a blank check to God. I don't know if you've ever experienced being given a blank check. It's kind of scary. I mean, that's pretty much somebody signing their name on the right corner and going, here, write whatever you want on there. Do whatever you want. Take whatever you want. I always think when I was growing up, there was a Disney movie called Blank Check. You remember that? It's on Disney Plus. It's fantastic. But, you know, he takes all the mobster's money because the mobster, you know, runs into his bike or something. And he's like, here, kid, I got to go. And the kid just takes everything. I mean, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, here, write God a blank check. Not knowing what he's going to ask, not knowing what he's going to take, not knowing what he's going to do with it. Write God a blank check. And say, God, I trust you. I'm giving you everything. You can take whatever you want. I will follow you. I will trust the process. Whatever you say goes, here it is. That's pretty scary. No wonder he's urging them to do this. No wonder he's telling them, I know you're not going to want to do this, but here's what I'm telling you to do. You got to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. That's what I want to encourage you to do. But then here's kind of the result. Here's what happens. Here's what takes place. And then he says, and this will be holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. He says, so it's going to be pleasing to God, but here's the great thing. That that little line right there, true and proper. True and proper. Actually, you know, when this was originally written, it was written in Greek. And so if you ever looked at the Greek here, instead of two words, true and proper, you would find one Greek word. And that one Greek word is actually where we get the derivative of the English word, logical. So if you knew a little bit of Greek, which I don't, I'm just good at Googling, you would actually be able to see here that what Paul is actually saying, if we had a different English translation and we could kind of redo it, what would actually make a lot of sense there is what Paul would say, this is pleasing to God, and this is logical. This is the smart thing to do. Paul's saying to all of us and to that audience there in Rome, he's saying, look, this just makes sense. I mean, in light of what God has done, in light of what Jesus has done for you, in light of that it's very clear he wants what's best for you, and he has your interests at heart. I mean, come on, this just makes sense. It just makes sense. I'm not even really asking you to take a step of faith. I'm not asking you to jump in the deep end. It just seems logical, because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you trust the Savior who died for your sins? Why wouldn't you trust a man who did what he did, the miracles he performed? I mean, the man beat death. He predicted his own death and resurrection, and it happened just like he said. I mean, come on, if there was anybody who you were going to follow, if there was any example you were going to go after, wouldn't it be this guy's? Doesn't this just make sense? And that's what he says. He says, I think it makes a whole lot of sense. And then this is what he says next. He says, so, do this. Because it's the true and proper worship. And this is what he says. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Look, here's some advice, okay? In the context of what we're talking about in relationships. Here's the thing. Think about it this way. If you don't want a relationship like everybody else's relationship, don't date like how everybody else dates. If you don't want a marriage like everybody else's marriage, which typically, you know, more than half of marriages now end in divorce. Sadly, whether you're Christian or non-Christian is what the statistics say. I mean, more than half of marriages end in divorce. You know some very unhappy married people. Well, here's the thing. If you don't want your marriage to be like the majority of other marriages, don't marry like how other people marry. Don't love like how other people love. Don't fight like how other people fight. If you don't want your life, if you don't want your finances, if you don't want your health to be like the majority of everybody else's health, then, well, how do you do that? Well, then stop conforming to the patterns of this world. Stop doing life. Stop spending your money. Stop treating your body how everybody else treats their body, how everybody else treats their money, how everybody else treats their life. You've got to not conform to the patterns of this world. You've got to stop being a conformer and start being a transformer. You've got to quit allowing yourself to be a cookie cutter, of being this example that everybody else tells you you ought to be, this sample that everybody else tells you to be. You've got to choose to be different, to live different, to make your decisions different, to love differently. But that's your decision. This is a decision you have to make, to choose to not conform to the patterns of this world. The thing is that the answer to most everyone's problems is to stop acting like most everyone. If you want to be different, then you've got to act different. Then you've got to live different. Then you've got to stop being like everybody else. But instead, he says, do not conform to the patterns of the world. But instead, he says, but be transformed. Be transformed. Be changed. Be renewed. Be set free. Well, how do we do that, Paul? And this is so important. This next part goes against so much of what we were taught, even in church. I mean, how people have broken down this verse and explained this verse just sometimes baffles me, because it's so different than what we even heard growing up in the church. How do we do this? How can we be transformed? And this is what he says next. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, be changed, be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Here's how this is different than what we were taught as a kid. It doesn't say but be transformed by praying a prayer. But be transformed by making a promise. But be transformed by making a commitment. No, that's not what it says. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's how I think of this. How I think of this is not a moment, this is a process. This is not a moment, this is not a one-time thing, this is a process. This is like reloading or installing a new operating system. Have you ever done that on your computer or your phone? It takes forever, doesn't it? It doesn't happen in an instant. I mean, you hit the button and it starts, but then it's a process. I mean, if you have a phone, it's like, I'll see you in an hour. If you do it on a computer, it's like, I'll see you in a couple days. If you have my CenturyLink internet, it's like, I'll see you in a week. I mean, but you hit the button, and then if you watch, it'll sometimes tell you what's happening and what has to happen. First of all, old corrupt files have to be deleted. It says, I'm pulling old files. I'm pulling things that are in the way. I'm deleting things. I'm taking things away. And then what does it do? And then it says, I'm installing new files. I'm installing new data. I'm putting in a whole new operating system. This is going to take a minute. This is going to take a while. But that's what you do. And then what does it tell you? While it's doing all this, what's the big warning that's on every single screen? Do not shut it off, right? Don't you dare unplug the computer. Don't you dare turn your phone off. Don't you dare leave this app. Let the process finish itself. And that's the thing for most of us. The thing is that a lot of us, we go, okay, this makes logical sense. I know what I need to do. And I promise, Lord, I'm making a promise. I'm here and I'm at the altar. I'm praying the prayer. I'll never do it again. I'm going to change. I'm making the commitment. But then we go right back to it the next week. We go right back to the same environment. We go right back to the same friends. We go right back to the same habits. Because we focus on the moment, we focus on the promise, we focus on the prayer, but we don't work the process. It's the same as taking paint, repainting a car. Have you ever repainted a car? You can't just repaint the car. What do you have to do? What's the very first thing you have to do? Take off the old paint, don't you? You got to take off every single bit of old paint before you can put anything new on. Because you know what'll happen if you put new paint on top of old paint? It'll flake off. Apparently, can't tell me I know more about cars than you people. Come on. I mean, but that's what'll happen. That's the process. So the process is it's slow and it's tedious. And you got to take everything old off before you can even put on anything new. It's the same in your life. It's the same process that God uses for you. And the thing is you can't get caught up in the moments. You got to get committed to working the process. I'm not a big moments guy. I got to tell you, I'll confess to you right now, but there's a reason. I'm not a big moments guy. If you're looking for a church where there's a big emotional aha moment where everybody runs down to the altar and I start hitting people in the forehead, I've always wanted to do that, you know, just to see if it would work, you know, like sweet chin music and people in the name of the Lord, you know, like Holy Spirit, ka-ka, Holy Spirit, ka-ka, man. That hurt. You know what I mean? Where people are like, oh my goodness, that was such, or you know, I grew up in the days of, you know, we need a revival. Everybody was like, we need a revival. We need a special speaker. We need to go to church for 5 nights in a row and invite the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. I've grown up in church. My dad is a pastor. I've seen a lot. Here's the thing. We get so caught up in the moments, in the one service, in the one speaker, in the 1 week. And then what happens 6 months later? We need another one, right? We need another concert. We need another revival. We need another speaker. We need another moment. We need another altar call. Man, here's the thing. Don't get caught up in the moments. I believe that there's a moment where you make a commitment, where you hit the button. Don't get me wrong. I believe you've got to make a decision, and that moment is important. But what's more important is don't get caught up in the moments. Make the decision to work the process. Don't unplug the computer before it's done. Don't unplug from God. Just like how we started this series, we talked about what did Jesus say? Remain in my love. I am the vine. I am the source. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You've got to get out of the moments, and you got to start working the process. The process is the renewing of your mind. God wants to change how it is you think, but that takes time. But here's the thing you got to understand, especially in regards to relationships. Time is your friend. If you get out of a relationship and immediately go hunting for the next one, trying to find the right person without stopping and evaluating and thinking and owning your slice of the pie, you are doomed to end up at the same place you already are. Time is your friend. Married people are no different. You guys like to make hasty decisions so quickly. Look, married people, time is your friend. Just because you've been talking about this for 2 months, just because you've been in counseling for 3 months, doesn't mean you're doomed. Give it time. Time is your friend. It's a process. You got to work it. You're not going to be better after one session at the gym, all right? You're not going to be able to fix the problem sometimes after one trip to the doctor's office. Time is your friend. You've got to give it time. You've got to trust the process. It hasn't been as long as you think. It hasn't been going on as long as you think. When you look back on this 20 years, you go, oh, how long was that season? Like a week? Because it will seem so small. It seems big now, but it's not as big as you think. You got to give it time. Time is your friend. Give it time. Let the process work. Let God renew your mind. And then something incredible happens. Something awesome happens. And this is my favorite part of this verse. Then Paul says this. So then, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know what's so cool about that? You know what's so beautiful about that? Is a renewed mind is able to make sense of God's will. Here's what's so awesome about this. When you do this, when you allow God to renew your mind, to change the way you think, what will happen over time is you will start to have all these aha moments where you will begin to understand God's will. You'll be able to make sense of it. And you'll go, oh my goodness, that's why Pastor always told us to do that. I mean, I just thought he just couldn't think of anything else original. I mean, but that's why he was always like, you got to do this. You got to trust the process. He was always talking about, you got to be in a small group. It's important that you're in church every week. You know what? It makes a huge difference if you're generous, if you serve, if you do these things. That's why. I just thought he was just telling us to do it for the sake of it. But oh, well, that's why. Or you know what? That's why the Bible says. That's why Jesus said, oh my goodness, that's what I'm supposed to do. I understand why this is so important to me. You'll be able to make sense of God's will, understand why God asks the things that He asks of you. And here's what's so beautiful about that. We are far more inclined to do what makes sense than we are merely told to do. And for some of you, that's why you're so lost, is because you've merely just done what you were told to do. For some of you who grew up in the church, who are Christians, why it didn't stick, why it didn't make sense is you just did it because they said it was important for you to do. Just do this because this is what a Christian does. Do this because this is what a religious person does. Do this, do this, do this. But you never stopped and allowed God to renew your mind. You never looked at it for yourself. You never looked at it for fresh eyes. You never tried to understand it or make sense of it. And for some of you, that's why you've stopped telling it to your kids, because your kids, those smart kids back there, I have two toddlers, they ask me all this time, why, why? Why, Dad? Why? I'm like, just do what I'm telling you to do. This is frustrating me. I don't know. But they ask that question. But you know what? We've got to be able to have an answer for that. That's what we're trying to help you discover. That's why we're trying to help you to understand the why behind the what. We've got to allow God to do that, to renew our mind. But then the beautiful thing is that we are able to make sense of God's will, which is so awesome, such a great gift. Because what Paul is saying is that God is not simply telling you to do something to do something. God is not playing the God card. God is saying, I want you to understand this. I want you to be able to know the reason why behind the what. I want this to encourage you. I want this to help you. We've got to be able to commit to this process. We've got to understand all of this. And when we do, when we allow God to renew our mind and change our mind, what we do changes. And the thing is, if you think how you've always thought, you are going to do what you've always done. You've got to change the way you think of things. You've got to change your mind. You've got to change what you think is okay. You've got to change how you handle things. You've got to change your habits. You've got to change what you think is okay. You've got to change what you think is the wise thing to do. And if you change the way you think, you can change what you do. But if you think how you've always thought, you will do what you've always done. So, here's what I want to ask you to do, okay? Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Would you consider taking time to renew your mind? Would you consider to take time to renew your mind? Would you consider making a commitment right now, hitting the start button, hitting the process, letting the new operating system load? Would you start and say, for the next year, this is what I'm going to do? You know what? For the next year, I'm going to take a year, and I'm going to start to read my Bible. I'm going to read it for myself. I'm going to read it with my own eyes, and I'm going to form my own opinions. I'm going to ask questions when I need to ask questions. And you know what? I'm going to start at the beginning. I'm going to start with Jesus, and I'm going to work my way from Jesus through, and then I'm going to go back to the old, and I'm going to find Jesus in the old, and I'm going to see what old points to Jesus, and you know what? I'm going to read the Bible for myself for this next year. And you know what? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to go at least 2 out of 3 weeks, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to take notes, and I'm going to ask questions, and then I'm going to take those discussion questions that they use and they put in their YouVersion Bible app and that they send to small groups, and we're going to commit to a small group. That small group, when it meets nine months out of the 12, we're going to be there every third week. When they take a break, I'm going to take a break, but I'm going to be there, and I'm going to surround myself with people who have the same values as I'm looking for, who are trying to do the same things that I'm trying to do. I need a team of support and people around me, and I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to practice generosity, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to get involved with giving back to my community, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to talk to God, and you know what? I'm going to work the process. I'm going to work the system, and I'm going to eat right. I'm going to get my body right. I'm going to get my health under control. I'm going to try to be, you know, as healthy as I can be. So, because my body's right, I can think better, and I'm going to start to work out and exercise, and I'm just going to do all of this for a year. Would you just consider for the next year taking time to work the process? Would you just consider taking a year of committing to this? And really, honestly, all I'm asking you to do is to live like Jesus lived, to live like the apostles lived. Would you consider doing that? I'm telling you, in a year, even in 6 months, if your life hasn't changed, if you don't feel more full, if you don't feel complete, I'll give you your money back. I mean, I think it works. I think it's what you need. I think it's what's best for you. As Paul said, I think it's logical. I think it just makes sense. And here's the thing, in the context of your relationships, I think it's what you need. I think when two people are committed to working the process, I think when two people are willing to leave their stubbornness and their selfishness behind and say, you know what? This is what we need to do for us. We need to work the process. We need to lay our lives down. We need to write God a blank check and say, all right, God, for the next year, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to do whatever you ask of me. I really don't want to. It's going to be really, really uncomfortable, but I want to test this out. It's just a year of my life. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to work the process. Here you go, God. Go ahead and start to do your work, and I'll hit the button and don't unplug from it. Stay with it and let God renew your mind. And tell me that God doesn't change the way you think. Tell me that God doesn't change what you do. I think he will. And here's what's so amazing about this. It gets only better. Here's the thing. When you work this process and it changes and renews your mind, and then it changes and renews you, you will be this person that your friends and your coworkers around you, they will view you as the wisest, happiest, most complete person that ever lived. They will watch you from afar. They will see you on Facebook. They will see you on the gram, and they will go, my goodness, they have changed. They are so happy. They are so in love. I mean, CJ writes love songs to her all the time, and they're just so happy, and they go to church, and they have all of these friends, and their kids are, you know, they're happy, have a great relationship with their kids, and their kids are doing so well, and my goodness, they look healthier, they look better, they look more full, and you know what? Your friends will start to come up to you, and they'll go, what's your secret? What is this? What has changed in you? What was the secret to your marriage? What was the secret? You know, I remember when you guys were dating, you were in a really rough place. You guys were really going through something. You were really struggling. But wow, you've really transformed. What is that? And then you will have the door open. You will not even have to go and hunt them down. They will come to you, and you will have the opportunity to share the gospel, the good news, with them. And you'll be able to say, well, let me tell you where it all started. It started when I gave my life to Christ. And I think that you would like it. I think it could work for you. Why don't you come and sit with me? And let me tell you something. The most rewarding thing that you will ever go through in this life is seeing somebody else's life changed and knowing that you had just a little bit involved with it. As a pastor, and as many of you who started this journey with me know, many of you who have invited that friend and seen that friend transform, who have seen that friend renewed, who has seen that friend begin a new chapter where they were able to get over the hump, where they were able to get out of the cycle that they were stuck in, and to know that was because I invited them. That was because I just came, they came and sat with me at church. That's where it all started. When you get to see that story unfold and know that your name is written in that book, it is the best feeling in the world. It is a feeling of purpose and intention and hope. And you know what? There are people around you right now who need that. There are people right now who need you. They don't need a sermon from you. They don't need you to hit them over the head with a Bible. All they simply need to know is that it's legit. All they need to know is that it works. All they need to see is that Jesus actually does change your life. And when they see that change, they'll go, that's what I've been looking for. That's what we want. That's what our marriage needs. That's what I need in my life. And you will be able to share that hope with them. Let me pray for you this morning. God, this morning, as we wrap up this series, God, I pray today that if there is any part of us that feels stuck, God, if there is any part of us that just feels like we are in this cycle, like we are living the same day over and over again, God, I just pray this morning that you would help us to break that cycle. Would you this morning help us to hit the button, begin the process? God, would you remove the old and would you begin to install the new? Would you give us a whole new operating system? Would you renew our mind? Would you change the way we think? And God, by renewing the way we think, would you change what we do? Would you change our habits? Would you change our patterns? And God, I pray that every single person in this room that's here today would right now just commit to working the process. God, would we not get caught up in the moments, but would we, God, right now, commit to the process, but then every day, God, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, next Sunday, next month, would we still work the process? Would we not give up? Would we continue to let you do the renewing that you want to do? God, would you take off all the old paint so that everything that is put on new sticks? God, would you just remodel us today? But God, don't just do it for us. Don't just do it for our success. God, would you do it so that we would be a light in the dark? God, would you do it so that we would be able to shine, that people would take notice, that people would become curious? And when they turn to us, when they ask us, what is so different? What is this? Well, tell me your secret. Tell me how you did this. God, would we be able to articulate and tell them about you? Would we have the courage? Would we have the wisdom? Would we have the strength to tell them, well, it all started when I gave my life to Christ. It all started when I started going to this church, when I met these people. God, it began in that moment, in that time. Would we be able to share that gospel, that good news? Because there are people out there who are hurting just how we have hurt. There are people looking for what we have been looking for. And so, God, we pray that you would help us to be that light. We love you, God. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to AnchoredHope.Church. We would love it if you hit the subscribe button and even give us a review. And plan your visit to Anchored Hope Church at 211 Boone Street at www.anchoredhope.church.